It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 16th. I'm Ben Johnson. Man, oh man, does this feel like the week of remembering web hosting and domain registry companies exist. Yesterday, we talked about GoDaddy and others booting a white supremacist website off of their services. Today, we're talking about DreamHost, which is locked in a legal battle with the Department of Justice. At issue, 1.3 million IP or Internet Protocol addresses. DreamHost says it's being asked to provide this along with user contact information, content of emails and photos from a client website called DisruptJ20.org, which organized protests around President Donald Trump's inauguration. The DOJ says it's part of an investigation into rioting on Inauguration Day. If a request for this amount of data sounds unusual, though, it is. Wendy Seltzer is an attorney at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. Wendy, thanks for talking.
Thank you, Ben.
Wendy, is there a historical precedent for this kind of wide capture of IP addresses that the government is looking for?
I'm not aware of one. The site itself isn't criminal activity. The site is First Amendment protected expression, informing people of events around the time of the inauguration. And so the mere act of reading that site is fundamentally protected expression.
What do you think the government actually wants to do with this information?
That's part of what makes it so disturbing. The government could be trying to identify individuals connected with violence, or it could be trying to send a message that even reading information on opposition to the government is dangerous. And that's part of the reason that the First Amendment has been interpreted to protect so broadly the right to receive information, to avoid that chill that the government is watching you in everything that you do.
If DreamHost has to cough up this information, is there going to be a business impact for DreamHost?
It changes not only DreamHost, but every host's potential conduct. If they can no longer assure users that we will do everything in our power to protect private information, and that will actually serve to protect you.
Some other tech companies regularly battle with the government over requests like this, right? Twitter, Facebook is in the midst of a dispute also over Inauguration Day rioting.
Most of the requests that I've seen have been much more targeted. They might seek an anonymous poster argued to be inciting violence, any billing information that would connect the account to a real person. But seeking to find everybody who might have read a given piece of information goes way beyond that.
Wendy Seltzer is from the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. She's also strategy lead and counsel for the World Wide Web Consortium. Wendy, thank you very much.
Thanks. It's been great to speak with you.
A hearing on the warrant is scheduled for Friday in Superior Court of the District of Columbia. I'm going to date myself for a moment and say that when I think of back-to-school shopping, I think Trapper Keepers and my parents buying me LA Gear high tops instead of Nike Airs for sixth grade. Whew, man, that still stings. But these days, there are many more techie options for kids returning to the classroom. One comes from Kano. It's a startup that wants to get kids into coding with software, but also physical devices. The company's latest gadget is something called the Pixel Kit. It's a little $80 computer light board with a bunch of little LEDs you can learn to program for visual and sound-based projects. Kano's CEO is Alex Klein. Alex, thanks for talking.
Thanks for having me.
So describe what your company does for someone who's never heard of you.
Kano creates computers that you make and code yourself like Lego. They come as kits. You put together the computer or the camera or the speaker or the light board. You bring it to life and it teaches you how to code it.
You say you want to change the relationship between people and their gadget. Why?
I feel today that technology in people's lives is pretty homogenous. We all carry around these post-Steve Jobs smartphones. But, despite the fact that there are billions of these things, a tiny fraction of us do more than swipe and tap over their surfaces. So I think it's really, not just important, but fun and expressive for people to kind of have a chance to use computing and code, use hardware and software. It's about becoming creators, becoming engaged participants in the 21st century.
There is a lot of talk right now about the importance of teaching coding, but there are two red flags in the popularity of that for me. One, I think learning to code will lead to wealth for sure as a misnomer, right? It might lead to a very boring job that doesn't actually pay that well compared to some other jobs.
Yeah.
Two, by the time these kids grow up, won't a lot of machines be doing the work that they're being trained for?
We kind of think of it a bit differently. Yes, you know, learning to code might change your job prospects. For us, though, that's not the focus. You put a Kano computer kit in the hands of a six-year-old or even in your own hands because you want to understand the way the devices that shape your life work. We think that kind of rhetoric is more powerful. It raises less of a red flag. The other thing you mentioned about future-proofing is also really important. Python, JavaScript, you're right that a lot of these languages and tool sets will become obsolete. That's again why the focus is not to teach you how to be the world's best Python programmer. It's to give you that kind of sensibility that applies across any digital device.
Alex Klein, he's co-founder and CEO of Kano. Alex, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Ben Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.